McDonough and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbore and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Good morning and welcome to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. I am Frankenberry and we are back for another show, and I know all of you out there are rejoicing just at the thought. And ladies, I just wanted to check in with you as we approach the end of the summer, which is almost kind of sad, you know? I know, exactly. Try not to say that crap out loud, Frankenberry. But how are we all doing?
Good, unless you go into any department store or home goods store and they're already decorating for Christmas.
No, like, are you serious?
Season burglars.
Oh my God, have they skipped past Halloween completely? And Thanksgiving?
They're summer burglars. Happy about it.
That on top of all the new clothes you can buy for going back to school. Wow, that's a lot going on in one place.
Well, also, let me just complain for a minute.
Hold on. I know, Carol. Surprise, surprise.
Oh, my God. Frankenberry, John is going to complain.
I know. Hit us.
Oh, my God.
Hit us with something new. That's what I love about you, Spielberg. We never know what
to
expect.
So refreshing. Gosh.
I barely even know how to do it. I kind of have to Google how to complain. I don't even know how. So this summer feels like, you want to talk about summer burglars. What kind of, the weather sucked. We had nothing but gray and rain and soup. It feels like feel like a hot, sunny summer. And I love hot, sunny summers. That's the whole meaning of summer. And then I was thinking, is this how it is in England, right? Is this how every day in England is this soupy, foggy, gray? Does anybody know?
You're asking the wrong two people.
I have family over there, but I don't often, I don't often have small talk conversations with them about the weather.
About the weather?
No.
So I didn't like that. And here's my prediction. What is, by the time this show airs, it shall be the 20th of August. I am predicting, even though I am not the Farmer's Almanac, a snowy, a winter.
Okay, now, you see, you guys told me just not to say out loud the fact that the summer's coming to an end, and now you're going to be talking about snowy winters? I hate you.
Well, No, you don't. I just want you to know that you heard it here first. I think this wet, crappy summer weather is going to lead to a lot of snow this winter.
Okay, let's hope that is not the case there, Spielberg. Let's hope to prove you wrong come springtime.
Yeah, and then we're going to play this recording and we're going to force you to admit you were
that's right.
Yeah, good luck with that. So okay, so enough about the small talk, let's go to the big talk. You're not going to believe the discovery I made about my home last week while we were taking a little break. You want to know?
Let's see. What discovery could Jonna have made?
Another wild animal?
Maybe, Carol, she discovered some sort of entry into the netherworld in her basement.
Oh,
that'd be cool.
That would have been awesome.
Sort of spiral stairs down to hell or something.
Oh, shoot.
I know.
What?
You discovered how to use your cooktop. No?
What's a cooktop? No. I did not. I'll tell you what happened. Now, thanks to wine, I made a very important discovery. Even though this summer hasn't really been hot and sunny, it has been kind of hot and humid. So I happen to be enjoying a Sauvignon Blanc, which for the uninitiated is a white wine. Carol knows this very well. And in order to thoroughly enjoy the Sauvignon Blanc, I think I was outside, I took an ice cube from the place that makes the ice cubes, the freezer. And I plunked it down in a wine glass.
Wait. Frank Barry, I'm sorry. I just have this image of this little man dressed in a Russian hat and coat that lives in her freezer. And hands are cubes from the place. From that place, anyway.
I scooped up my cubes and he put them in a wine glass, and over which I poured probably what was a room temperature at that time, Sauvignon Blanc, having not been in the refrigerator. Okay. Which means the ice cubes immediately began to melt. And as I put the wine glass to my lips, I could not help but notice a lot of white crap floating in the wine.
Oh, that's disturbing.
It looked like, I guess it looked like dandruff. Like that was the size of the particles. Yes, floating in my wine. Now, at that moment, my first thought was, I don't want to waste good wine. So I poured it through a coffee filter to remove the
white stuff. Oh, I can so appreciate that.
But the bigger picture was, I said to myself, self, is this a dirty glass? Is this a bad batch of wine? Like, I had to get to the bottom of this because, let's face it, it wasn't appetizing. You don't really want to consume white particles of stuff when you don't know what they are. So I did a little experiment. Ooh. And it is experiment. Not
were you chewing spearmint gum when you did the experiment?
I did the experiment and I melted some more ice cubes. I put some ice cubes in different substances, water, I forget what else I put it in, and I tested it. Well, then I took some ice cubes and I just let them melt in a glass container. Long story short, the ice cube, so the water had something in it that was leaving this horrible residue on anything they touched. My wine, the glasses, the water, the everything.
Ew.
Now I was freaking out. I was freaking out. So what do? I called the Environmental Protection Agency. No, I didn't. I called.
You called your dad.
You called your dad.
I did call him first. But then I immediately called like a water purification company to say, hey, do you know? And I went to the Google to say, hey, what could this stuff be? And so the water purification company came out and they tested my water. And lo and behold, I discovered something I was not expecting at all. And my water in my house has more chlorine than a very well chlorinated pool. Like the chlorine level of the water coming into my home is off the charts high. That didn't explain the white stuff. The white stuff was calcium something or other, also crap that really shouldn't be in the water, should be filtered out. But I was really shocked to learn about this chlorine, because when you chlorine, if you did not know this, I learned this from the water company, actually not only if you ingest it does it get it in your body, duh, but it can be absorbed through your skin. So now I'm thinking, well, la-di-da. Remember when I was having my hair problem that I was complaining about a few weeks ago, and how my hair is not growing and how my hair is breaking off and how I'm on this horrendous hair journey?
Yeah.
Now, two and two together, my water has been messing with my lid for a long time.
Okay. Now, what
that could
what
very
I,
well be.
Yeah. What I don't have right now, Jonna, is I need like a slide whistle or something to make the effect of my eyes rolling into the back of my head, because you have just figured out an excuse other than what you obviously know is the reason about the fact that you just damage your hair on a daily basis. Another obvious excuse as to what could be the problem.
Yeah. It's not the 400 degree straightener and then curling iron.
Right. Right. It's not that. It's now chlorine in your water.
Yes. And I might sue. All right. No, I'm not going to sue. But what I did do was I dropped a little bit of money on a full house water purification system. Because listen, Linda, I've been struggling with this hair problem for a long time. And if it turns out that after spending $6,000 on a water purification system, my hair starts growing like a weed and looks long and luxurious like a movie star, it's going to be worth every penny of the that I'm spending on the water purification system, which incidentally, as we are speaking, is getting installed today.
So did you ask them, by the way, this whole issue of the chlorine as to where they thought it might have been coming from or why that was an issue?
Well, it has to be an issue. She doesn't have a well. She's got, city
water.
Right. So
isn't that going to be the same thing with the rest of your neighborhood?
100%.
Oh, yeah. But I don't care about their hair. They don't care about mine. I don't care about theirs. No.
I'm not thinking about the hair. I'm thinking about all the ingestion of chlorine, Spillboard.
Well, maybe they already have their own water purification systems. You know, they didn't, and they left me out of the meeting, you know, for all I know.
So this happens. I live in Beacon, and Craig and I both drink a lot of water, but we use a Brita filter all the time when we drink water. We have a filter in our refrigerator for the water that comes out. But there's still days that I'll go through the filter and I'll pour a glass. And I'm like, my God, I can really smell chlorine. It can't be good for you. But no, I guess neither can E. coli. So maybe it's a lesser of two evils.
Right, and that's why they do. But it's interesting because my refrigerator where the ice cubes are made has a filter too. It didn't filter out this calcium or what have you. Now, the company did this. It was fascinating, to be honest with you guys. They came in and they performed a bunch of tests in front of my face. So it wasn't like they just showed me brochures and told me a bunch of stuff that I could have Googled or not Googled. They ran my water. They ran it through the filter. They did all these tests. Here was two interesting things. Number one is I drink bottled water in the house. I have a bottled water dispenser. When I taste tested the bottled water, which is already purified, supposedly, but it's in a plastic container, and the water that came out of the filtration system that's getting installed in my house, night and day. Like you think when you're drinking bottled water, tastes fine. It doesn't taste chemically. When you drink it next to this filtered water, it totally tastes chemically. It was so weird, number one. And number two, chemically, new word. Number two.
Put it next to Blorange.
Exactly. Every week, the new Jonna dictionary.
Mm-hmm. I know. Pretty soon we might be able to actually compile it in a small book. They told me that the best water in the country is New York City water. New York City water.
Because it comes from upstate, right?
I don't know. They, for whatever reason, it's the cleanest water. And I didn't ask them for a full explanation, but I'm like, that's weird. But if you think about it, like whenever you go to a restaurant in New York City, they always say, well, I guess they do it here too, like tap or bottled. New York City tap water is supposed to be really, really good. And I don't know how, because if they get any of it from like the East River, remember when back in the day, the East River used to be full of like dead bodies? You know, whenever, like,
back in the day.
Yeah.
Ah, good times.
When the mafia off somebody, they threw him in the East River with a pair of cement shoes. I mean, so I don't know how, I guess we could Google that and find out why New York City water is the best water. But I'm really looking forward to getting this, because the other thing they did, they tested the chlorine level, which was terrible. But apparently the alkaline level in the town, in the Poughkeepsie town water, is very good. Very, very good, which was okay. But when they took two containers of water and they put a chemical in it that showed the level of chlorine.
Chlorine.
When you take your hand and you put it in water that contains chlorine and you pull your hand out, the level of chlorine in the glass of water is non-existent because it's completely absorbed into your skin. Your skin acts like a sponge.
That's
for the
awful.
Chlorine. And I know, and I'm thinking, our whole lives, I don't care where you live, right? And, you know, unless you're taking your shower in a hot spring in the ground, and even then you probably got chlorine in it, you know?
I'm loading up my cart. I'm getting test strips for drinking water right now. I'm getting chlorine filter for my shower. Keep going.
Yeah, you should do that. So I'm telling you, and here's the other funny thing. They come in and they do this presentation. It was a little bit of an old timey presentation and it took a while. And part of it was they talk about how much easier it's going to be to clean your hard surfaces, like your tub surrounds, your shower doors, and my eyes were glazing over. And when he's getting to that part, he's like, do you want me to skip this part? I'm like, yeah, I have people. I don't care. I don't clean. That's fine. I just, my hair. I'm here because of my hair.
I have so, people.
But it does, like, they did show me that demonstration too, how much crap is left behind by our really dirty water. And it was just mind blowing. It really was. So I'm looking forward to seeing a change in my hair, my skin. And I'll let
That's
you know how that goes.
Crazy. Yeah. All right. So I can have it by tomorrow. Okay. I'm back.
Oh, good. What are you getting by tomorrow?
I'm getting a chlorine filter for my shower head and drinking water test strips.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
But now, even so, let's say you get the drinking water test strips and your drinking water is high in chlorine. You're going to, you know, you can't just keep drinking it and eating while the ice cubes and the water come out of your refrigerator. That's what you got to do. Test it out of your refrigerator and test it out of your faucet. So
I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this one step at a time.
Because I envision you coming over to my house with a bar of soap, a shower scrubber, your shower cap and a towel, asking if you can take a shower at my house with my new purified water. So at least I figure now with a good water purification system, I'm going to, you know, get the chlorine out of my way and have it not be in my way anymore.
Oh God. Oh God. You're going to get your chlorine out of your own way.
Oof. You're slow today.
No, you're not very good.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm with Carolyn now. It has nothing to do with us not picking up on it.
Listening to you struggle.
Yeah, it has something to do with us just heavy sighing.
I was struggling. That was, all right, let me see if I can think of something else. No, you can't.
You don't need to. That was enough. You've pained us enough.
Keep digging deeper.
If anybody ever has to vote on which one of us gives the best segues, I'm going to disqualify myself. I'm going to get out of my own way.
Okay.
Okay. So the reason for all these bad news coming from me is I cannot wait to talk to our guest today. So we have on the show the trademarked pit bull of personal development, Larry Wingate. Now, he's written, I don't know, a million books probably and courses, and he's a public speaker. But one book in particular we're going to focus on today, I keep calling it a book, but it's actually a course. And it's entitled Get Out of Your Own Way, How to Overcome Any Obstacle in Your Life. And I thought this was a good topic because, you know, we all have obstacles. We all have stuff that prevents us from getting where we want to be. And this guy is no nonsense. I'm like three quarters of the way through this course. He is no nonsense. He's fun. He's in your face. And when we come back from the break, we are going to be speaking with the pitbull of personal development himself, Larry Wingate.
All right. That's what we have on the way. Audience, you know how this works. We're going to take a break. You hang out and then we'll be back. For Jonna and Carol, I'm Frankenberry, and this is Happy Hour.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back again to Happy Hour here. It's Jonna Spilbore. It is Carol Pesci. It is Just Some Guy. And it's also our time now to get to our subject of interview today. And Jonna, I know you're very excited. You're almost done with the book. Please introduce us to Larry Wingate.
Yes, I am so excited to be talking to our guest today. Let me tell you a little bit about Larry Wingate. He is the trademarked, and I just love this, you guys, the trademarked pit bull of personal development, and you're going to see why very shortly. He's also a best-selling author, television personality, social commentator, and internationally acclaimed speaker. Larry is a member of the Speaker Hall of Fame and was recently named one of the top 50 keynote speakers in the what? In the world. He has written 6 New York Times/Wall Street Journal bestsellers that have been translated into over 20 languages, including, now this kind of sums up Larry's personality, including Shut Up, Stop Whining, and Get a Life. You're broke because you want to be, your kids are your own fault, along with his latest What's Wrong with Damn Near Everything. Larry Wingett, you pit bull, you. Welcome to Happy Hour.
I appreciate the introduction. I can't wait to hear what I got to say. So,
so listen, Larry, I as I mentioned, I think we were off the air. I'm about three quarters of the way through one. I'm calling it a book, but it really is a course, and you refer to it as a course, and it's the one entitled How to Get Out of Your Own Way. I'm sorry. It's entitled Get Out of Your Own Way, How to Overcome Any Obstacle in Your Life. And it is just a really good representation of your personality. And I think the theme that I'm detecting is you got to take responsibility for everything, good and bad. And I want to dive into that. But before we do, you got to tell us, how did you become the pit bull of personal development? Because we're going to talk about your style. You're very unique. How did it happen?
Well, when I first entered the speaking industry and there were all these typical motivational speakers out there, I saw them saying some really dumb stuff, stuff that just was not true. It makes you feel better, but it really wasn't causing any personal growth or the self-improvement they were promising it was. Stuff like just have a good positive attitude. You know, I think you ought to have a negative attitude. The more negative you get about your life, the more probable you are to do something about it. So I've always promoted have a negative attitude instead of a positive attitude. So I just looked at all the stupid crap they were saying and said, you know, there's a better way, a more honest approach. And that's where the first book, Shut Up, Stop Whining, and Get a Life, came from. And then it kind of blossomed from there.
Who'd you dedicate that book to, by the way?
Actually, I dedicated it to all the stupid people in the world. Oh. Doubt that I would be without, I'd be without a life right now.
Oh, my gosh.
No, and sometimes it seems like there are. But you know what? I think any person who is not doing, being, or having absolutely everything that they want to do, be, and have has something preventing them from doing it. And the message, and correct me if I'm wrong, and Get Out of Your Own Way, is that that obstacle is you.
Yeah, the best place you can go to lay blame is to the mirror. It's just almost always your fault. And people like to argue that with me and say, no, you don't understand, Larry. And then they whine and say, I didn't do this. Okay, let's say it's not your fault. Something fell out of the sky on your head and this is not your fault. What you do about it is still your fault. So instead of whining about it, what are you going to do about it? Whining doesn't fix the problem. So look at what's going on. And if you don't like it, fix it, change it, take an action. And then people say, but that's so hard. Yeah, that's why it's called success. It's hard. So get off your butt and do it.
Now, that is something that is really difficult for people to swallow, I think. Not for most people. Some people can swallow just fine. I think I take a lot of responsibility for the stuff that goes right and wrong in my life. So first things first, if you're trying to motivate a person to change and take responsibility, and they're really, really reticent to do that, is there some way, like, where do you punch him? Do you punch him in the stomach? Do you punch him in the nose? Like, where do you punch him to get them to figure that out, to shake him into realizing that's what they have to do to get started?
I don't believe you can motivate anybody first. That's my basic premise. I don't believe you can motivate anybody. In fact, in addition to my pit bull of personal development trademark, I also trademarked I'm the world's only irritational speaker. I don't believe I can motivate.
Oh, that's great.
I don't believe I can motivate you to a better place, but I can irritate you so much with where you are that you will do anything to go to a better place. And what I think we've done is we've made everyone so comfortable. We don't want anybody to have their feelings hurt. We don't want them to be in a bad situation. So all we do is try to make them more comfortable with their situation instead of encouraging them to move because it's so uncomfortable they can't stand it. So I find the place where it hurts the most, put my thumb on it and push. So they will realize on their own. That can't be done externally. Somebody has to realize on their own, this hurts so much, I don't want to be here anymore, wherever here is. I don't want to be here. I don't want to live like this. I don't want my life to look like this. I don't want my health to look like this. I don't want my relationships, my marriage, whatever it is, to look like this. So what am I going to do to fix it?
So it seems, Larry, like this is Carol. If somebody is like peering over the edge at rock bottom, you're like, boop, knock them in. In a good way. Your intention is
a good thing to do. I really do. I think we allow people to bump along the bottom comfortably so they don't ever have to get off the bottom. You can't always save people. Sometimes they're in this situation because they're stupid and made bad mistakes, and they need to learn from their stupidity and from their mistakes, or they're bound to repeat them. If it hurts so much that you look at your life and say, boy, that was dumb. I don't think I'll ever do that again. This is too painful. That's when the lesson has been learned and they start to live differently.
Yeah. And you talk about that. And Carol and I have talked about this too on the air. It comes down to like the power of your why. Like if the reason for you to change is more important than the reason for you to stay exactly where you are. You talk about simple examples in this course. Like, you know, if you're fat, it's because you're eating too much and not exercising enough. It's that simple. You know, it's not that you have a gland problem or something, some other reason why you can't go on a diet. I mean, it really can be boiled down that simply.
Well, people don't like to hear that one, especially, I can assure you. I've taken some pressure over that one over the years, because now we come up with ways all the time to say, no, that's not the case. And people always want to point to the exception. Okay, 1 out of 100, that's not the way it works. But for most of us, to weigh less, you need to eat less and exercise more. You know, that it's really pretty simple. If you want to have more money, you can only do two things to have more money. You can spend less or you can earn more. It ought to be the combination of both. Life really is pretty simple. We make it hard and people want it to be hard. And that seems like a big contradiction, but people want their life to be hard because if they buy into the idea their life is hard, then they'll have an excuse for not doing well. And I just don't think there's an excuse.
No, and that's obvious. And so if we dig into the course a little bit, you basically break it down into 4 components, and you are, and this I did not know about you prior to I listened to the course. I don't read, but I like to audiobooks. You find a lot of power in lists. You said you make lists for everything. Why are lists so useful or important?
It makes it tangible. I'm not even into putting a list on a computer. I want you to, or on your phone, I want you to get a piece of paper and a pen. I think those are the two best tools that we can use, because it's so tangible to take a sheet of paper and say, this is what's going wrong in my life. And then saying, what's one little thing I can do about that? One little thing. And people say, how little? Listen, if you brush your teeth with your right hand, try it tomorrow with your left hand. Will that work? I don't know, but it's doing something different. So do anything different.
Larry, I love you for saying that, because I even love a paper calendar. I know. But yes, I love lists and I love writing it on actual paper in a notepad. I always have one with me. But I also think, and I agree with you, it's tangible. Isn't there also some sort of subconscious connection when you physically write something out, like you're communicating it with yourself at a deeper level?
Yes, your understanding goes up as you put the words on paper. And there's another side to that, too. That horrible thing that you think is destroying your life and you just can't handle it and you want to go in the corner and roll up in a ball and cry about it. If you put it down on paper, I believe problems get smaller when you write them down, because now it's tangible and you start to see some little way to deal with it. If we disasterize our issues, our problems, what's going on in our mind can do really ridiculous things with whatever's going on. Put it down on paper, the facts of it on paper, not what you imagine the problem to be, what it really is. That's why I say problems get smaller when you write them down.
Oh, wow. You know, I'm just thinking, you know what, when you were talking and saying that, I was imagining a few of the people. So I have a law practice and I have people that work for me. And I know that they do that all the time. They'll take a problem that they think is huge and then they'll come to me and they'll tell me the problem. And I'll say, wait a minute, this is not that, it's not a big cloud. It's not an explosion. Here's what it really is. And I'll bring them back down to earth. And I do that a lot. I guess I'm kind of good at that. But I should start telling them to write down before they come running into my office to write down what they think the problem is, they might be able to fix it themselves.
Well, I would have them write down the problem. And also when they're writing down the problem, just add to that. What's one thing you know you could do? Just one thing you know you could do.
100%. Absolutely. Don't just come with the problem. What's a suggested solution?
So, and that's another thing you talk about, Larry, in this course. How to get things done. Now, it's not just about, I mean, making a list is a step in the right direction. But how else can you motivate, or I know you don't motivate people, how else can people be motivated to get things done? Like, it's one thing, you can make a list all day long, and that's great, and that might reshape the issue for you. But you also have to take action, and you talk about that. So tell us a little bit more about how to take action.
Well, action builds momentum. That's why I said a while ago, just change the way you brush your teeth. It doesn't matter to me what you do as long as you start doing something. Because one thing does lead to the next, leads to the next, leads to the next. So I am a big believer and huge proponent of stop thinking so much about what the right thing is to do and just do anything.
Yeah.
Most people are so stuck, they don't do anything. And they sit around, as we just said, they all kind of build together. They disasterize in their mind, and then they get paralyzed, and then they sit there, and then nothing changes. And then they say, oh, my life is stuck, and it never changes. Well, what have you done differently? I believe that you must take some kind of action. And again, I really don't care how small it is, because one thing, I know one thing leads to the next. So what can you do? And when you start focus on the doing,
yep, on the action,
and you get busy in the doing. See, people think, I hear it, you hear it, we all do. I wasn't motivated to go to the gym today. That's why I'm fat. You know, I've never been motivated to exercise one moment in my whole life. Not one. I hate it. But I mean, I do. I don't. I'd rather sit on the couch and not even walk into the room to get food. I don't care. But I don't like the consequence. And what drives me to do the things I know I should do with my health and with my family, with my money and everything, is the consequence. It goes back to what I said earlier. If we save people the consequences of their bad decisions, we've cheated them of the lesson and the opportunity to really make a long-lasting change.
Oh, my gosh. Word. Yes. And I don't know if you get into this in any of your books. And of course, I'm the perfect parent because I never was one. But I think that is a challenge young people face today because of their parents not doing that.
Well, I did write a best-selling parenting book.
You did? Okay. All right.
Yeah, called Your Kids Are Your Own Fault.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
I remember Jonna's reading off that title earlier.
But in their desire to help and save and buffer children from pain and frustration, the parents sometimes go too far, and then they raise a child that's not capable of handling the bigger things in life.
You know, when I wrote that book, one of the biggest arguments I got in with people was because I say in the book, your child is not special. It is to you, but to the rest of the world, your child will always be evaluated and judged and hired and fired based on the value they bring. How do you teach your child to add value to every situation? That's what we should be teaching our children, to add value, because when they walk out your front door, they're just one more snot-nosed little kid. And that's the truth. And I love little kids, and I loved mine, and I love my grandkids and all that. But you've got to teach them what really matters in life, and that is adding value to every situation.
That's so brilliant, Larry. You just took something so, in theory, complicated and messy and boil it down to such a simple, powerful one-liner. You really did. Wow.
Well, thank you.
See, you should make parents feel guilty because seriously, like this is reminding me of my business. When I have adult clients whose mommy or daddy calls for them, makes appointments for them, has to be on calls with them, and they're adults, 20s and 30s, I don't care what they're going through. I don't care whether you're an axe murderer or not getting, it doesn't matter to me. It's irritating because you are not doing your children a service by not allowing them to handle their own ish. They should be handling their own ish all the time. And if they want to come complain to you, they need a shoulder or some support after that, fine. But don't be the person making the call. It just drives me nuts. So that's your next book, Larry. guilting the parent, guilting the helicopter parents out of being
now
helicopter
they're bulldozer parents. Yeah.
Yeah. We got lots of names for them these days, but basically they're just lousy parents. Look at your kid. They really are the lousy parents. Look at your kids. Look at huge segments of society today and realize that you created that mess out there. It was your not forcing them to do the right thing, to stand up for themselves, to take responsibility for their bad actions. You are responsible. You enabled them to be that way. You're an accessory to the crime.
So we're going to have you back to talk about that book and others. I also want to talk to you in the future about your book because you want to be. I think that's an awfully big topic for a lot of people, especially now. But the parting words in this book is you can fix the world by fixing yourself. What do you mean?
Well, we all want the world to be a better place. I think we ought to stop worrying about the world and look at our own life. I mean, how do you pay your bills? How do you treat others? Were you nice when you went to the grocery store today? Did you smile at folks? Were you kind to the people in your life and your friends and the people you say you love and then you treat them badly? What can you do? I can't do anything about the world. I can't do anything about the price of milk or gasoline or what any politician is doing. The only thing I have any control over is my personal behavior. That's it. Uh-huh. I can't do one thing about what my wife says or does today. Nothing. I can't. I can just try to control what comes out of my mouth. And that's how I judge my life every day. When I go to bed every night, the last thing I do is brush my teeth right before I get in bed. And as I'm brushing my teeth, I look myself in the eye and say, how'd you do today, Larry? And I do a fast evaluation of what I said, what I did. And if everybody just took that moment, and it's a split second where you just say, what did I contribute? What value did I add? Did I make the world a little better? Did I make my world a little better? That's how the world gets better, by enough individuals changing the way they live their life today.
And being cognizant of how they're living and how it influences other people. I mean, we're here to serve, ultimately. And what better use can we make of our life, and particularly the challenges and difficult things we go through, by finding a way to add value to the lives of other people, not in spite of, but as a result of what we've gone through.
And Larry, I wanted to say, too, on your earlier point and the point that kind of continues to be made of, you know, just then make a change, just do something different, like, you know, with your brushing your teeth, change your hand, you know, and I like to write. But I will find myself sometimes coming to a point where I am completely blocked. And instead of bemoaning the fact that I'm blocked and whatever topic it is that I'm trying to write about now, I instead say, well, you know what? I'm going to write a pretend conversation between two of my cats. You know, just something like that. It doesn't matter what it is. You know what? I'm going to look outside my window and I'm going to imagine a couple of my landlady's dogs talking to each other about how their day is going. Just something completely different to take me away from the thing that I'm blocked on.
And that's a great way to do it. Just start the action and then the right words will follow. We're all so worried about doing the right thing. Do anything. Just do anything.
Exactly. Exactly. And it doesn't have to have purpose sometimes. And that's, I think that's the one thing I have found most important, is that even if I just do anything in the way of words, I have to keep in mind it doesn't need to be seen by anybody. It just needs to be an outlet.
Totally agree.
Well, Larry, you just accomplished something that you have no idea the monumental feat you just accomplished. And that is Frankenberry here, who we have worked with for a dozen years. Normally, when we have self-help gurus on the show, he goes and takes a nap because he's just not interested. You just engaged Frankenberry and made him step up to the plate and analyze
himself.
This is going down in history. Larry, this is history. Wow.
You know, I don't make much difference in people's lives, but at least I can keep them awake. See? So
And Larry, I do, by the way, I do make lists, though I was in the grocery store the other day and I had my paper list and I was looking at it. And I swear to God, mothers were hiding their children from me because they didn't understand what I was doing.
Oh, my gosh.
I wish we could talk to you. You really are just a phenomenal speaker, and I'm enjoying this book, and I'm going to enjoy the rest of them as well. And we are threatening to have you back, so hopefully you will join us again. We've been speaking with Larry Wingate. He is the pit bull of personal development, in case you haven't figured that out in the last 20 minutes. He's got he's got a million books on the subject. We've been talking to him about one of his more recent ones entitled Get Out of Your Own Way, How to Overcome Any Obstacle in Your Life. Larry, if anybody wants to connect with you, buy any of your merch, figure out where how they could get you to speak at a program, what's the best way for people to do that?
You know, everything I've got's on Amazon or on my website. It'll give you the links to order whatever you're interested in. I've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of videos all over YouTube on my channel there. So if you can find my name and spell it, you can find everything, more than you're ever going to want to know.
All right. Well, Larry, it has been
an
absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for sharing your time and your talent with us today.
I appreciate you having me. Y'all have a good day now.
All right. Thanks again, Larry, for joining us. And we're not done yet here with Happy Hour. Segment number 3 is still on the way with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. So stick around.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back one more time to Happy Hour here. It's Jonna Spilbore. It is Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello. Frankenberry.
Oh, very nicely done there. Oh, very nicely done. Nice harmonies. So it was so nice to talk to Larry Wingate earlier. Boy, he is definitely a forceful, energetic speaker.
He does not beat around the bush.
No, he does not. He's got opinions, and you're going to know him.
Wow.
Sometimes that's what you need, you guys. I mean, I know there's a market for all different types of self-development, personal development. And, you know, some people like the froofy, everything's going to be okay, fairies and rainbows and sunshine and crickets and whatever. And other people are just got to be smacked in the face with it. And maybe it depends on the issue that you're going through. But he's got a whole different style, which is very – you know what they say? It's like what's his name? Tony Robbins often talks about this too. Like, when you want to change something, you've got to change your state. Larry's whole like thing is about changing your state by like pow in your face. So his whole personality works to help you work through your issues, which I think is just great. I would love to have him back and read the rest of his stuff.
Well, yeah, he certainly has a lot for us to talk about when it comes to him being a voluminous number of works he's got. So there's plenty to talk.
His style is so different from most of the people that we talk to. But I think sometimes, you know what? I think Gary John Bishop is similar too.
Yes.
Who's been on the show. It's like, okay, here, I get your problem. What are you going to do? What are you going to do about it?
That's right. So, stop whining at me. Yes.
Yeah. So even though maybe that might rub people a little bit the wrong way, perhaps that's exactly what some of us need.
Yeah. And Gary John Bishop, he has a penchant for four-letter words. I don't think so far I'm 3/4 of the way through this course, Get Out of Your Own Way. I don't think Larry has cursed even once.
Oh.
So that's different strokes.
Are you disappointed?
Well, I like a good four-letter word every now and then, or more than now and then.
Mm-hmm.
But, but some people, whatever floats your boat. So he was real good. And I know we're going to be wrapping up here real soon, which is okay. Because
what's going on with your kittens? Wait, what's going on with your kittens? The spare kittens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You've got those three little love birds there.
Wait, I'm using air quotes that she's going to adopt out.
Yeah, I don't know. Still waiting on that. I mean, didn't you just spend $600 on a cat litter cleaner?
Well, yes, but
you've bought a cat tower and you've bought cat toys.
Well, I got to keep them comfy while they're here. I mean, what kind of foster spare cat mom would I be if I just like locked them in a room and said,
what are you waiting for to adopt them out?
Well, you wanted to get them fixed first, right?
Well, here's a kitten and here's $200 to get them fixed when they're old enough?
Here's the thing, because I figured this might be a topic for next week. They are, two of them I had to bring to the vet to get their follow-up shot. So two of them are ready to go. The third one, because I got her a week later, goes this coming tomorrow for her follow-up shot. Then she's ready to go. As long as people are willing to take a kitten that's not yet fixed because they're too young to get fixed. So come tomorrow, I have to decide whether, I'll tell you what I'm hung up on. Do I want somebody to adopt all three of them together? Or
that's not likely going to happen.
And that's what I'm thinking. Like, well, that's going to be tough. Well, then yeah. Who can we separate? Because I know that two of them are such snuggle buddies. I really want them to go as a set. You know, don't separate the set.
Right. So, and that you can do. People adopting two at once happens quite often.
Yeah. So I think adopting two and then maybe separating one out. And the one that I think could be separated, don't get me wrong. They do snuggle together from time to time and they play together and they're happy. But I think one of them is a little more independent. And my cousin, I think, is interested in adopting that one, which would just leave me with two. Because I'll tell you, if I wait two more months until I can get them fixed and adopt them out, I'm going to be too attached. And I'm not even a cat person.
Already are.
Shut up. Shut up.
See, this is where we're going to take some advice from Larry. And we're just going to tell you straight out, Jonna Spillboard. We're not going to candy coat this.
I've already been telling her she's screwed.
Yeah, you're already there. Oh.
Come on. I'm an ice queen. I'm a dog person.
Mm-hmm. Jonna, your dogs live in another house, Jonna.
But I'm still a dog person.
Oh, Frankenberry, what an argument. She's got three secret kittens.
They're currently in her home and she still wants
with their own bedroom.
Right. Yes.
And
yes.
Her dogs live somewhere else.
Yeah. Cat. Crazy.
Is that what a dog person is?
Oh, you two know where to hit me where it hurts.
Oh, we heard every word Larry Winget just said, so we're putting our thumb right on that pressure point.
There you go.
Oh my gosh. So wait a minute, I have a question. Why are you showing up to the show as Esther Williams today?
Oh, last thing. Because...
I'm going to assume it has something to do with the chlorine in your water you were talking about, just thinking of swimming pools.
And a shower cap.
Right.
And that is the connection. Esther Williams was a world famous synchronized swimmer. And we also learned she was an actress because Frank and Bear reminded me of that.
Yes.
And because we started the show with my chlorine poisoning that I'm fixing now.
Oh, it's poisoning now.
I was poisoned by chlorine for the last like 9 or so years of my life. That's why I chose Esther Williams as my pseudonym today, because she wore a shower cap and she didn't have any hair problems.
That's right. But I'm thinking that you could still model yourself after Esther and wear a shower cap right now to hide your hair problems.
A shower cap right now would look better. I would be probably.
Jonna, you can get the kind that had those like flowers that would stick out.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. The rubber flowers.
Yeah.
I can start a new trend while my hair grows.
That's right. And don't worry, if you do wear that, if you do wear that swim cap with the rubber flowers sticking out from it, we won't call you grandma.
Oh, stop.
Wow, Frankenberry. Boy, he's taking a page right out of Larry's book.
Yeah, he is. Man, wow. You woke right up. You paid attention to every word. You didn't go make yourself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich during our interview, did you?
No, I did not. I enjoyed listening to the Larry. Yes, I did.
Good.
Well, fortunately, this recording is running out of time. I see the timer clicking. We got to go.
Yes.
We got to go.
We got to go. We've got to wrap it up. So to Larry Winget, thank you very much again for joining us today. And looking forward, as Jonna said, and as Carol would like as well, to have you back. And for Jonna Spillboard and Carol Pesci, I am Frankenberry, and we'll be back again next week. Same time, right here. So please join us again then. Until then, have a safe week.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spillboard and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104online.com.